Shalom, Australia. US President Donald Trump began his Middle East tour in Saudi Arabia yesterday. The Arabic newspaper Al Hayat claimed that the president intends to present Israelis and Palestinians with a new peace initiative when he arrives in Jerusalem tomorrow. Trump will suggest direct negotiations between the sides for a limited period of 6 to 12 months. The offer does not include a demand for settlement construction freeze by Israel. The lead-up to President Trump's visit here has been tense. While it was initially believed that he would announce the move of the U.S. Embassy from Tel Aviv to Jerusalem on his visit, it soon became clear that this election promise will not be part of the agenda. This news was followed by a diplomatic spat between the U.S. and Israel over the status of the Kotel, when a team of Israeli officials working to coordinate Trump's visit asked their American counterparts whether Prime Minister Netanyahu could accompany the president when he goes to the Kotel. A senior American official, later identified as David Burns, the political counselor at the U.S. consulate in Jerusalem, rudely responded, "What are you talking about? It's none of your business. It's not even part of your responsibility. It's not your territory. It's part of the West Bank." No serving U.S. president has ever visited the Kotel because the U.S. policy has been that the final status of Jerusalem has yet to be resolved in Israeli-Palestinian negotiations. The U.S. officials reportedly rejected the request for Netanyahu to join the visit, saying it would be a private visit by the president and that he would go on his own. On Tuesday, the White House announced that Trump would not be accompanied by any Israeli officials when he visits the holy site. However, on Thursday, President Trump told the Israel Hayom newspaper, "We have great respect for Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu, and the decision to have the rabbi of the Western Wall accompany us was primarily because that is the custom at the site. It could still change." Also detracting from the gloss of the visit was when the news emerged in the past week that meeting Russia's foreign minister and ambassador to Washington in the Oval Office on May the 10th, Trump shared intelligence about an Islamic State threat involving laptops carried on airplanes. ABC News reported that the information came specifically from a spy embedded in the terrorist group on behalf of Israel, and that Trump's reported leak had placed the person's life at risk. The Israeli government has not officially confirmed that this is the source of the reported leak, though Washington and Jerusalem have publicly pushed aside reports of the incident. Top Israeli defense officials are said to be angry and concerned by the president's actions, and the spy has not been heard from. Orthodox Zionist David Friedman on Tuesday presented his letter of credence to President Reuven Rivlin, officially taking up his post as U.S. ambassador to Israel. President Reuven Rivlin and Justice Minister Ayelet Shaked installed the first ever female Qadi for Israel's Sharia court system on Monday in Jerusalem, along with three other regional Qadis. She is Hannah Mansour Khatib, a lawyer from the Galilee town of Tamra, who previously specialized in family and Sharia law. On Thursday, an Israeli settler driving on Route 60 to his home in Itamar was ambushed in Hawara by dozens of Palestinian rioters demonstrating in solidarity with security prisoners currently hunger-striking in Israeli jails. As the driver, a father of eight, continued through Hawara, the protesters turned violent, kicking his car and pelting it with rocks. The Israeli then tried to plow through the crowd, but his way was blocked by an ambulance which had crossed into the lane. Fearing his life was in imminent danger, the driver later opened fire with his handgun, killing one Palestinian and lightly injuring an Associated Press photographer. A military jeep pulled up seconds after the man's car came under attack, and the soldiers inside quickly scattered the crowd with tear gas and other riot dispersal means. The settler described the experience as a lynch attempt. "I saw death in my eyes." The main road running through the town of Harara is part of Route 60 and is the north-south artery linking six major Palestinian cities as well as four Israeli settlements in the Shomron Regional Council, Yitzhar, Bar Bracha, Elon Moreh, and Itamar. Israelis wishing to travel from those settlements to Tel Aviv and Jerusalem have little choice but to take Route 60 through the Palestinian town. There is a bypass route, but that would require an extra 30 minutes. Time few people are willing to sacrifice on a daily basis. The army and Shin Bet arrested the ambulance driver on Friday, and the ambulance was seized by the military. Between Thursday night and Friday morning, security forces also picked up one of the suspected rioters and impounded a bus that is believed to have been used to shuttle people to the violent protest. On Friday, security forces faced off against Palestinian rioters in multiple locations throughout the West Bank and along the Gaza border as hundreds took part in violent demonstrations. Border police yesterday thwarted an attempted stabbing attack at the Kalandia checkpoint south of Ramallah. Police launched an investigation after extremist ultra-Orthodox protesters threatened a senior IDF officer on Friday. Dozens of male protesters gathered outside the home of Major General Moti Almoz in the northern village of Kfar Tavor to protest against the draft of religious men and women into the army. The leaflets distributed there accused Almoz, 49, who heads the IDF Manpower Directorate, of selling souls for cash, and ended with the warning, "Your end will be bitter like that of Hitler and his friends." An attorney of former Prime Minister Ehud Olmert was detained on Thursday after being caught with classified materials following a visit to Olmert in prison. The Prime Minister, who is serving a 27-month jail sentence on various corruption charges, has been writing a memoir in his cell. Since he was privy to the state's most closely guarded secrets, prison authorities have required him to transfer all written materials to censors before handing them over to the publisher. On Wednesday, it was reported that the Israel Prison Services did not plan to raise any objections to Olmert's early release. The law allows authorities to reduce sentences by one-third for good behavior. However, this incident could reduce the chances of that happening. In another political scandal, a state controller report released on Tuesday accused Bayit Yehudi Minister Uri Ariel of transferring millions of shekels earmarked for poor towns in rural areas to non-profit organizations run by his political confidants during his tenure as housing minister. Lag BaOmer was celebrated last Saturday night, Sunday night and Monday, after the Education Minister, Naftali Bennett, responded to pressure from ultra-Orthodox MKs to change the day that the minor festival in the Jewish calendar was celebrated in schools. Falling on a Saturday night, there were fears that students would begin lighting their bonfires while it was still Shabbat. So Bennett announced that schools should celebrate on the Sunday night instead and that schools would be closed on Monday rather than Sunday. However, tens of thousands, mainly ultra-Orthodox, headed to Meron near Sfat, the center of their celebrations, on Saturday night, even though they knew that some of the bus drivers, police and medics in attendance began working on Shabbat in order to be there. Bonfires were smelled throughout the country for two nights in a row. Meanwhile, parents were outraged that the schools were closed on a workday. Next week, a report on Jerusalem Day celebrations that will be held for the full week ahead. This is Peter Jones-Pelach reporting for SBS Radio from Jerusalem.